Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Black Love Experience, hosted by inspiring author S. Dot, exclusively presented by the S. Dot Files.
What's good, people? It's your man S. Dot, back for the Black Love Experience. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us today on today's show, which is entitled No, Oh No, Not Mama. We're going to be talking about the grieving process, the loss of a loved one, more specifically, the loss of a mother. So sit back, sit tight. It's your man, S. Dot. Call in number is 347-308-8527. Once again, the call in number is area code 347-308-8527. We'll be back in a minute.
I appreciate it. When I was young, me and my mama had beef, 17 years old, kicked out on the street. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, scared to go home. I was the fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Said tears with my baby sister. Over the years, we was poor than other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hell, hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day, running from the police. That's right, mama catch me, put a whoop into my backside. And even as a crack fiend, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. Tell us it was fair. No love for my daddy, cause the coward wasn't there. He passed away and I didn't cry, cause my anger wouldn't let me feel for a stranger. They say I'm wrong and I'm heartless, but all along I was looking for a father, he was gone. I hung around with the thugs, and even though they sold drugs, they showed a young brother love. I moved out and started really hanging. I needed money of my own, so I started slanging. I ain't guilty, cause even though I sell rocks, it feels good putting money in your mailbox. I love paying rent when the rent's due. I hope you got the diamond necklace that I sent to you. Cause when I was low, you was there for me. You never left me alone because you cared for me. And I can see you coming home after work late. You're in the kitchen trying to fix us a hot plate. Just working with the scraps she was given. And mama made miracles every Thanksgiving. But now the road got rough, you're alone. Trying to raise two bad kids on your own. And there's no way I can pay you back. But my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. And dear mama, you all appreciate it. Pour out some liquor and I reminisce, cause through the drama I can always depend on my mama. And when it seems that I'm hopeless, you say the words that can get me back in focus. When I was sick as a little kid, to keep me happy there's no limit to the things you did. And all my childhood memories are full of all the sweet things you did for me. And even though I act crazy, I gotta thank the Lord that you made me. There are no words that can express how I feel. You never kept a secret, always stayed real. And I appreciate how you raised me and all the extra love that you gave me. I wish I could take the pain away. If you can make it through the night, there's a brighter day. Everything will be alright if you hold on. It's a struggle every day, gotta roll on. And there's no way I can pay you back. But my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
S-Dot has a get-it-done mindset when it comes to achieving. Sharing breakthrough strategies and overcoming solutions for everyday people, he is a communicator of change. S-Dot's most impressive credential is that he keeps it 100 and doesn't water down the whole truth and nothing but the truth. It is this refreshing forthrightness that enables him to speak with a right-now relevance to people from many walks of life. His can't stop, don't stop, won't stop attitude is infectious to those who have experienced this inspiring author, motivational speaker, and empowerment coach that is committed to helping those most in need succeed in love and life.
Greetings, black love, black family, black love, black brothers, black sisters, black fathers, black mothers, black family, black love. As always on the Black Love Experience, we start with the black love affirmation. Black love is, was, and will forever be. Black love is liberating. Black love awakens me in the morning. Black love comforts me in the night. Black love fills my heart and spirit. Black love is inside of me. Black love surrounds me. Black love flows in and through my entire being. I accept, embrace, and manifest black love. I am black love, and black love is me. What's good, people? It's your man, S-Dot. Thanking you for joining us on another episode of the Black Love Experience. Today is November 29th, and it is Thursday, so I have been told, 2012. Today's episode is entitled, No, Not My Mama. And we're going to talk specifically about the grieving process that many of us experience. And this show right here is dedicated to my mama, who passed away 32 years ago last week. So the holidays for me for a number of years were very trying, very difficult. For a number of years, whenever the holidays would come, I would find myself depressed, deeply saddened, as would a lot of other folks. And a few folks who I spoke to last week during the holidays confided in me that they were somewhat down. Many of them this year happened to be the first year in which they were spending the holidays without their mother. For some, it had been a few years that they were spending the holidays without their mother. And the loss of a mother is a deep impacting wound. The loss of a father is a deep impacting wound. The loss of any family member is a deep impacting wound. Today, we're going to specifically focus on the loss of a mother. So, if you are an individual who has experienced the loss of a mother or a paternal figure, we invite you to call in. The call-in number is area code 347-308-8527. Once again, the call-in number is area code 347-308-8527. Perhaps you can share some of your experiences, and through your sharing and through our hearing, each of us can be better equipped to learn how to deal with the grieving process, because it is very, very difficult, you know. Losing a parent is an indescribable loss. So tonight, this afternoon, we're going to try to share some strategies for coping with and overcoming grief. Because for a lot of us, contrary to what the popular expression is, we have wept, and that weeping has endured for not just a night, but for more than a night. We've awakened, and we find that we still have no joy in the morning. And even though the season has changed for some others, it's come to pass But for us, some of us, many of us, our hearts are still heavy. I want to begin the show by putting out this warning for folks who might be listening on the archive or listening live, that this show contains inspiring words, motivational music, and empowering solutions. It is a healing platform for revealing emotional, cultural, and spiritual scars and unearthing long unspoken hurts. This show, The Black Love Experience, is not for everyone. I repeat, this show, The Black Love Experience, is not for everyone. You are strongly cautioned from listening if you are afraid to put down your psychological baggage or unprepared to actually begin the process of healing and deliverance from broken and bitterness. That being said, again, if you are listening live in the chat room, this show may not be for you. If you are listening on the archive, this show may not be for you. Again, The Black Love Experience is not for all people, and it may not be for you. There is an African proverb that says, the end of an ox is beef, and the end of a lie is grief, or a life is grief. And I oftentimes would consult many different proverbs, particularly from an African-centered perspective, because those are the ones that I better identify with and relate to. And in my grieving process over the years, I also consulted many different sources and resources because, quite frankly, my grieving process went on for a number of years. As I said, my mother passed 32 years ago, and I didn't come to a sense of closure on the depressing aspect of my grief until about 3 years ago. So I grieved 29 years. That's right, 29 years. Now, some folks might say, that's a long time. And for those who have experienced the loss of a mother, they may say, that's not even long enough. You know, the loss of a mother, I tell you, it's an indescribable pain. But nonetheless, that's what healing is all about. That's what this journey is all about, you know, recognizing that we want to be still, we want to be real, we want to be healed of all the things that afflict us. This song particularly was very, very helpful for me during my grieving process. It's a classic, now a classic, Boys to Men, a song for Mama. Shaman Estat will be back in a minute. Holla.
Me everything, everything you've given me.
We ask that you release us from religiosity. Heal and deliver us with right information relevant to our right here and right now situations. Let us not just be expositors of words, but depositors of deeds, which are seeds of change for those who are sick and tired of being sick and tired of being the same. This is our prayer as your sons and daughters. And let all of those who agree say black love.
Are you ready to get your mind right?
You are, family. Because it's time to be still, be real, and get healed. Welcome to the Black Love Experience. I am your host, Estat. Thank you again for joining us for another episode of Healing and Revealing Black Truth so that we can repair and heal ourselves as a black family. And oftentimes folks ask me, why do I focus so much on the black family? And I look at them in awe as to why don't they focus at all on the black family? Because when you look at the so-called mainstream news, you constantly find yourself bombarded with images and so-called news accounts, which are constantly depicting the black family in a state of crisis, which are constantly depicting black men and black women at odds with one another, black children at odds with one another. There are always people doing studies and quoting statistics about how dysfunctional the black family supposedly is. And when I sat down with my team and we thought about the direction that we wanted to take the show, and we recognized that it was time for us to grow beyond the infancy stage of the show as the Booty Call Show and taking it to the next level as the Black Love Experience, we did a lot of focus groups with a lot of different folks. And it was astounding how many folks were resistant to the platform of black men, loving black women, loving black children. Like, the very thought of it offended some folks. You know, we got accused of all sorts of crazy things. Like, you know, one person even said that the Black Love Experience was reverse discrimination or reverse racism. And I want you to listen to the terminology, because words are very important and understanding their context is important. We all know that racism or discrimination are acts or behaviors or systematic manifestations of behaviors, thoughts, and principles that are unjust. Racism, discrimination, is incorrectness. So when an individual aspires to affirm themselves, to recognize that they have issues and challenges that they need to deal with that can't be solved by other people, by marching around in circles, by begging other folks to accept them for being unacceptable, but these individuals roll up their sleeves and decide, I'm going to take responsibility for me, myself, and my household. There are charges of racism or reverse racism and reverse discrimination. Now, I want you to be very clear about those terminologies. Because what an individual is actually saying is they believe that racism or discrimination are natural or acceptable forms of how things should be. And for any person to make an effort, however small, however great, however significant or considered insignificant, but to make any effort to try to combat racism or discrimination, they are charged with being a reverse racist, an anti-racist, anti-discrimination. Now, just really listen to how ridiculous that sounds. I think that each and every one of us should be committed to reversing the incorrectness of racism, of discrimination, and of all incorrect behavior. Each and every one of us should aspire to a place of justice and correctness for all people. And looking at the news reportage and the coverage which depicts the black family in the worst state of crisis, then we are those most in need. So we definitely need some black love. So that being said, that is why we have the Black Love Experience. To explore, to affirm, to celebrate, and to liberate black people, black men, black women, black children, and black family, who are in a dire state of crisis. And one of the most extreme forms of crisis is the loss of our loved ones. And we all know that the pillar of the black family is the black woman. The black woman is the matrix from which we all come from that sustains life. Black women have not only cared for and nurtured black children, black women have suckled the children of other cultures on their breasts. Black women are the mothers of civilization. And the loss of black women is significant, and it causes irreparable damage to so many people. And it's something that, you know, we need to address. And, you know, there is a process that they call the grief process, which they try to break down in five phases: the anger phase, the anxiety phase, the guilt phase, depression phase, and the acceptance phase. Now, it varies in terms of how they say different individuals experience these phases of grief. But nonetheless, we all know that grief is a change element, and change will come even if you try to remain the same. Because as we all know, life is a seed that will someday sprout the tree of loss, and it will bear the fruit of grief, which is death. Death will become of all of us. It will touch each and every one of us. No matter how much we try to forestall that situation, it will eventually touch our lives. Grief is natural. So therefore, there is no normal process of grief, quote unquote, whatever normal means. Each of us experiences grief differently, and we respond according to our own individual distinct personalities. No two people experiences grief the same. There's an individual by the name of Kenji, I can never say his name, it's Miyazawa. That's Miyazawa. I can never say his last name. I don't want to butcher it. But he has a quote that says, "We must embrace pain and burn it as fuel for our journey." And I wish I had heard that quote earlier in life, because then I would have been better equipped to deal with grief. And that's a very powerful quote. We must embrace pain and burn it as a fuel for our journey. Because I apologize. Apparently I was disconnected. I don't know at which point I was disconnected. I was talking about the process, and when I looked, I noticed that I was disconnected from the show. We have a number of callers who are on the line currently. If you have a question or a comment that you would like to contribute to the conversation, press number one on your phone so that I know that you have a question or a comment, and I'll be able to pick up your call right here to the conversation. That being said, we're going to take a brief break. I want to play a track from Brother Joe Budden. It's called Mama Said. We'll be back in a minute. Holla.
My check. 1-2-1-2. New Joe Budden.
Shit. not respectable. I told her they folk I think highly of. She said, well, they must think less of you. Must feel entitled, all you're doing. I said, I'll fix it. She said, no, you wrong. Then I got defensive, but still replied. I told her I need him. She said, no, you don't. Then she said, when's the last time you spoke to your father? I said, he's self-centered, why bother? Cause he only really call about his needs. And I ain't got enough time to deal with his greed. My days are darker, cut from a long shank, but the blade is sharper. I'm making my not so big departure. Tell Pop I'm his son, not his base partner. Last time that we spoke, he wanted to use the crib. Throw a party here, which wasn't partly fair. My home needs to feel like home, even if I throw a party here. Big heat at your attitude, and I catch one right back at you. We annoy each other, but ignore each other. Think this, how the fuck I want to act with you? Things just ain't the same, but he sure will call about a Yankee game. Like call CC and get back to me. What's ill is he saying so casually? I love him so much, he can have all the perks. Hurt so much, I take all the perks. Hurt so much, but fuck it, it works. Hurt so much that I can't sleep. Mom say I need to sleep more. Then again, she ain't on this stress level. So many people rely on me. I'm trying to get us all to the next level. Wait, told her I took baby girl to the doctor. It was only for a checkup though. And she gave me the face like now would be the time. If it's anything I feel I need to let her know. But that's just mom again. Just being a mom again. Look down at the tat on my arm again. God please give me strength, keep calm again. She asked me if Caitlin was pregnant. I looked at her like she was crazy. Cause that's my baby, what's wrong with a baby? She said nothing at all when you're not dating a baby. Beautiful girl, I like everything about her thus far. I just don't wanna see you fall. Just a tad bit young, so she got some growing up to do. And I replied, don't we all? Mama said, why can't you ever be alone? I said, what do you mean? Went to correct her, she did it herself. She said, at least that's how it seems. Pop ain't called, he's still mad. Still pissed, he's still angry. I'm still going, don't plan, I'm slowing. No way I'll ever let his immaturity take me. Mama said that to hear he call. That ain't shock me, they speak a lot. She's helpful.
Yo, what up, fam?
You know, I'm just thinking this shit, you know what I'm saying?
I know you ain't crying over there, fam.
Nah. Just chilling and shit. You know I should be, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, I'm saying, yo, what's saying for my mom's just letter, man? I think you should check this out, man.
Thanks a lot, G.
Monday was a bright day.
Are you ready to get your mind right?
What's good, people? It's the man, Scott. Back for another episode of the Black Love Experience. Apologize, we had a bit of technical difficulties. So we have a number of callers who are on the switchboard. I don't know if you are wanting to weigh in the conversation or not. I'm trying to load my chat room. The chat room's not loading for me for some reason. I don't know if folks are in the chat room. If you are, thank you guys for clicking by the chat room. I'm going to have to look into what's the deal with the chat room. Nonetheless, I'm going to go to the line, and I'll pick up your line. If you have a question or comment, you can proceed. If not, just let me know and say you're still listening, and then I'll mute your mic and allow you to continue to hold on to the line. So we're going to go to our caller by the name of Sound Lady. Sound Lady, are you there? I'm picking up a bit of background noise. Sound Lady, are you there? Thank you. lady does not have a question or comment. A number of other folks are on the line as well. As I said, if you have a question or comment, press number one on your phone. That way I can see that your hand is raised, that you want to weigh in on the conversation, and I can pick your mic up. So on today's show, we're talking about grieving the loss of your mama. And particularly what touched me about this particular show or doing this show is this was the first holiday, well, this was one of the first holidays in years that I truly had a great holiday experience. And when I say holiday, I'm not talking about celebrating the massacre and genocide of those who are classified as quote-unquote Native Americans. I'm talking about being able to come together as a black family and just enjoy a meal, enjoy being in the company of one another. I think that, you know, whatever the holiday experience is, I think that as individuals, I call every holiday a black family day. So whenever I'm given an opportunity to take off some time from the plantation to be able to be with my family, that's a black family day. And I may not partake in the way that other folks are celebrating the holiday festivities, but I am excited and happy always about an opportunity to come together with my family. So on this particular holiday, this particular black family day, I was able to go with my wife, my daughter, to my sister-in-law's house. And my sister-in-law has a new baby who's about 4 months now, her and her partner. And we took my mother-in-law with us. And, you know, we had dinner. It was really good. It was a good experience, you know. Nice drive out to Connecticut, drive back to New York. And it was just great because what's particularly interesting is that, you know, my mother-in-law reminds me quite a bit of my biological mother. In fact, my mother-in-law just retired a few months ago, and the profession that she retired from was the profession that my mother was at the time that my mother passed away. And interestingly enough, when my mother passed away, my mother was pursuing nursing school, and my wife is actually a nurse. So it's funny how divine providence works. So it's like in being with my wife and her having her mother, it's kind of like seeing the fruition of what my mother's life could have been in a lot of ways. And they both share very similar characteristics to my mother. Like a lot of people who grieve the loss of a loved one, I think that for many years I sought out characteristics of my mother in different females that I dated or attempted to date. And I think that because I was dysfunctional in my grief process, I was unable to appreciate those individual females at those times in my life, so that those relationships didn't prosper. Because, you know, I was in a very unhealthy state. So I want to back up a bit, share a bit of the foundation for how it is that I got to where I am today. So let's flash back 32 years ago. So my mother was sick, knew that she, or strongly suspected that she was going to pass away. She was having a high-risk pregnancy. It was not believed that her trying to take a baby the full term would have been the best thing for her. Nonetheless, she was trying to bring a baby to full term. And when my mother passed away, it was a few days before Thanksgiving. And prior to her passing away, there was a weekend in which I went to visit my grandmother. And grandmother, this is my paternal grandmother, my father's mother. And she came to pick us up over the weekend. And I remember really strange conversation. My mother had said to me that morning, if something happens to me, I don't want you to cry. I want you to be a man for your sisters, and you have to set an example and don't cry. Now, I thought it was odd when she said that, but I, you know, shrugged it off. And she hugged me, and she kissed me. Now, my mother was always an affectionate person, but it made me, because I look back on that as being the last time I saw my mother alive, I look back on it with a degree of scrutiny, but it seemed like there was an intensity to that hug and that kiss that I never noticed before. Nonetheless, went to my grandmother's house, and we're at my grandmother's. It was me, my mother, and my younger brother. And we were there for the weekend. And I remember we were listening to the radio. And this song, I Will Survive, came on. And it was a song that my mother had loved. She would sing it all the time. In fact, I remember that I even sang that song at my graduation. It was so popular back then. Nonetheless, my grandmother gets on the phone, and I remember when the phone rang, everything just felt different in the house. I could still remember everything to today. And when she picked up the phone, I recall her saying, "Oh no, oh my God, don't tell me that." And before she hung up the phone, my sister looked at me and was like, you know, giving me the look like, what's wrong? And at the time, I was about 12 years old. My sister was about, I believe she was about 9 or 10. My younger brother, he probably was maybe about, might have been about 6, 5 or 6. And I remember when she got off the phone, she said, "I have some terrible news for you children." And she said, "Your mother passed away." And I remember my sister started screaming, and my younger brother started laughing. And he was like, "Aha, your mother's dead." Because, you know, we have different mothers. And I remember my sister, like, tried to chase him and hit him or something. You know, he was a little kid. I'm sure he didn't realize the weight of what he was saying. But to this day, I could still remember, you know, that exchange. And then I remember us going over to our house and seeing the ambulance parked in front of the building and a police car, and going upstairs and seeing family members in the hallway, and then going into our apartment and still being in the sense of, like, floating and not really feeling like it was real, because I think I needed to actually see it for myself. And I remember coming into the apartment and seeing my mother lying on the couch, and she had transitioned. And there was a stillness over everything. And I remember just standing there looking at her chest area, waiting to see if I could see her breathing. Because my mother was sick, and I remember that there were times when I would wake up as a child and I would just go by her bedroom door and stare in the darkness. My eyes would be adjusted to the dark to just watch her back or her chest go up and down to make sure she was breathing. And when I didn't see any breathing, I remember walking up to her, laying on the couch, and staring for a really long time. And then I remember putting my hand on her and feeling the coldness and not feeling any life. And from that point on, one of my aunts or uncles came over and they walked me out of the house and we went into the hallway. And I remember it was, you know, my mother's brothers and sisters, my aunts and uncles, they were talking about, you know, trying to get me to talk about stuff, and they were saying stuff like, well, you could cry. And I kept remembering her telling me not to cry. So it started making me angry that they kept saying, you don't have to hold your feelings in. You could cry, you could cry, you could cry. And, you know, the more that they kept saying you could cry, the more determined I was to make sure that I would not cry. And, you know, I was like, don't tell me I could cry. I'm not going to cry. And I didn't cry. And it was interesting because I don't know how we got through the next few days, but eventually the funeral came. And the funeral was the day after Thanksgiving. And so Thanksgiving was always a sore spot for me for years. Because I remember that Thanksgiving in my family. I don't recall where we ate Thanksgiving dinner, who cooked Thanksgiving dinner. I just remember Thanksgiving dinner was not the same. And kind of like looking back in hindsight, it seemed like a lot of the food that would have been eaten on Thanksgiving dinner was food that was actually eaten after the service. But nonetheless, I remember something from the funeral which always stood out to me. Part of my grandfather, who eulogized my mother, he was her father, he stood up and he said something really profound that has always stuck with me. He said, When a child loses their parents, that child is called an orphan. When a husband loses a wife, he is called a widower. When a wife loses a husband, she is called a widow. But in every language, there is no term for when a parent loses a child, because it is such an indescribable hurt that no one in any language was able to come up with a term for it. It is an indescribable pain for when a parent has to bury a child. There is no word for it. And I thought about how deep his grief must have been to be a father burying his daughter. And he said, every parent is supposed to go before their child. No parent is supposed to put their child in the ground before them. And I know that prior to my mother passing away, I was an honor roll student. Once my mother passed away, I became very angry. I got into all sorts of mischief. I went to live with my mother's older sister, and I was very angry. Went through such a period where I got into lots of fights and altercations, and I eventually went to live with my paternal grandmother, my father's mother. And in living with her, she worked nights, and I went to school during the day. So it was like she worked and would be going to work by the time I got home from school. So food would be cooked, there would be money in the house, and but when she got in from work, it would usually be like around 12 o'clock or 12:30 at night, and I would already be asleep. So for most of my teen years, you know, I saw my grandmother on the weekends. You know, I was pretty much a latchkey teenager, which is how I was able to become so promiscuous with women or young females at such an early age, because for the most part, my grandmother had to work, and I was just at home, unsupervised, in the afternoon for years. And when they talk about the five stages of grief, anger, anxiety, guilt, depression, and acceptance, I realized that I sexualized my anger. And as a result of my anger and hostility and unresolved, you know, emotions about my mother passing away, that I began to use that in a dysfunctional way in which I dealt with young females. And you may notice this about a lot of young black males, particularly today, in the language in which they use when they talk about their intimacy with females. A lot of them will talk about, I beat it up, I ripped it down, I tore it up, I knocked it out, I hit it. And that was pretty much my mindset at that point in my life. I looked at sex as a way to get out my aggression. And there are a lot of dysfunctional black males, and even people who classify themselves as black men, who are still practicing this sexualized aggression in their relationships today. And a lot of black females are suffering and not recognizing that at the root of a lot of this male sexualized aggression is anger, unresolved sexualized anger. I want you to think about that for a moment. I'm going to take a break. We'll be back in a minute.
Day I can go back to when I was born, laying in your arms, wishing you was here today, mom, wish you'd appear, just for a second from heaven, my tears would be gone, I wouldn't be rapping this song, I'd be happy driving up to your 8-bedroom mansion, up late laughing about the hard times we faced, the galaxy is so enchanting beyond Galileo's understanding, past the Milky Way and all the planets, there's something out there greater, but only God knows, scientists claim we came from apes, but they lies though, that was part of our conversation. I spark went up and start blazing, thinking of how amazing she was. An angel gave me love. I'm thankful to ever know a woman so real. I pray when I married my wife, I had one of your skills. But mom, you could never be replaced. I give my life up just to see you one more day to have.
One more dance with you, mama.
If I could only have
one more dance with you, mama.
Praying, wishing I could have
one
if I could only have
one more dance with you, mama.
I wish you were here. I miss you more each second I breathe. You resting in peace forever. I accepted you free. A blessing to me. I see you dressed in all white, smiling at me, happy, knowing everything's alright. If only I can hear your voice and your laughter just one more time. My chest will be filled up with sunshine. April 7th, 02. That's when the gates of heaven opened up for you to stroll through. Beautiful Ann Jones, job is done. Raising ghetto kids in the hood. You was my strength to carry on, and now I'm good. Job well done. You lived through your sons and grandchildren. Jesus finally got his bride. Mommy danced
with them, and you've been my guide through all the trouble I faced. They playing our song, the life beat, my hand on your waist. I grab your other hand, I'm trying not to step on your toes. Spin you around with my eyes closed, dreaming I can have
one more dance with you, mama.
If I could only have praying, wishing I could have
one more dance with you, mama.
If I could only have
one more dance with you, mama.
I love you forever, mom. You will always live through me. Always.
Are you ready to get your mind right?
What's good, people? It's your man, F. Dot, back for the Black Love Experience. The call-in number is area code 347-308-8527. Once again, the call-in number is area code 347-308-8527. If you're calling in and you have a question or comment, and you'd like to weigh in on the conversation, press number 1 on your phone so that I know that you have a question or comment and we can put your call up. So, we were talking about the anger phase. Now, many of my male friends, when we are able to have some real conversations, many of them share with me that they recognize that, you know, they have unresolved anger issues with the women. And many of them don't know the nature of a lot of that anger. That anger oftentimes begins because of a conflict with their motherless womb. Whether it was the result of a mother dying in transition or a mother being present and being dysfunctional, there are many ways that many black men are acting out systemized anger or aggression. And black women are unaware of this because as a family, we don't want to be still, to be real, in order to be healed about this. I see we got a hand raised from the 407. I'm going to pick up the call from the 407 area code.
Yes, I'm here. Could you hear me, sir?
Yes, sir.
As your younger brother, I want to say sorry. I didn't know how. You're right. I didn't know, bro. I didn't know any better. And I still remember that day. I actually do remember that day like it was yesterday. And actually being in the house and seeing your mother and us being young kids, I remember that time. Man, I didn't know I said harsh words like that, man, but I do remember that time, man. That is nothing, and nothing in life that, as you know, her father spoke about, a parent should never bury a child, man. I remember when my mother, you know, her sitting in the bathroom crying because of burying our brother, and that's just touchy, man, and you playing those songs, man, I just like throwing darts at my heart, like, man, this is, yeah, it's, you know, it's a touchy situation, man. It takes bravery and courage as a man to speak about these, you know, to speak about this, you know? So I just commend you on doing that and being brave enough to talk about it, to get that issue out there, because a lot of people do have those issues in life and, you know, don't know how to express it. As a man, I know as men, we have a hard time expressing ourselves and being open and honest about how, you know, things affect us in life. And it takes other men to lead by example to do that, so other men can know that it's all right to express yourself. It's okay to share your vulnerabilities with people and let them know how you feel about certain things. And I commend you on that. And, man, I didn't know it happened in November. And this time, like around Thanksgiving time, so, you know, I just commend you, man. And I apologize if I said that. Saying those harsh words, man. Yeah, I gotta call sis and tell her I'm sorry.
Well, I forgive you, you know. I mean, you were a little kid, you know, you didn't really understand the weight of the situation, you know. And, you know, but I think that years ago when I would play the situation over and over again in my head, I'd be like, wait till his mama die.
I would be laughing too.
You know, I was a little kid thinking crazy stuff like that, you know. But, you know, I mean, I just know that over the years when I see different individuals and the way that many of them mistreat their mothers, I don't really understand that, you know, because, and I guess I don't understand it. I know that, you know, it's such a hard loss to take, losing your mother. And I know that it changed, forever changed, who I am as a man, how I became the man that I am today. I know that I would be different, significantly different, had I not lost my mother at such a pivotal point in my life, you know. Many of the choices that I made would have been completely different. But also, as a result of losing my mother, I think that, you know, it also opened me up to have a greater appreciation for the time in which I was blessed to be able to have a mother. Some people don't have a mother at all.
Or a father.
Or a father. And, you know, and I think that, you know, like, even for years, like, I was even at odds with our father over the death of my mother. I blamed him. For many years, I said, well, you know, if things worked out between you guys, she would have never died, you know. If she would have made different choices about her life. I would say, you know, she made these choices about her life because you broke her heart, because you weren't the man that you needed to be. So I think that for many years I held on to a lot of anger, hostility, and bitterness towards him because of that. And I remember there was a time when I was about, I think I was about 17 or 18 years old. Might have been about 18. And there was one time when our sister was, she spent the night out. She spent the night out at one of her girlfriend's house. And her girlfriend's brother was a crack dealer or sold drugs. And, you know, the what he did in the street wasn't what he did at home, nonetheless. But when the story came back to the family, it came back, oh, your sister spent the night in the crack house. So when he heard that, he flipped out. And he was like, you know, you're supposed to be watching your sister, and how could you do this and allow this to happen? And there was all of this attacking. And I remember saying to him, you know, your job is to be her father, not my job. And his response to me was, I should have let your mother flush you down the toilet like she wanted to.
Ooh.
And he said it in anger. He was intoxicated at the time, but it stung me so deeply that I had to go to my aunt and say, did my mother ever want to get an abortion? And she was like, my mother would have never allowed her to get an abortion. He just said that, whatever, whatever. And I held on to it for years. And it even affected my ability to grieve for my mother, because I wasn't able to fully grieve for her, thinking that she didn't even want me. So, you know, that put me in that made my anger even more amplified.
God didn't want it to happen that way. Without you being here, I would have been long gone. I didn't have an older brother to look up to, man. But, it's as parents, it make you think about, you know, the words that you say to your children, how they can affect your life. And, I think about it, you know, if things would have been different, you know, if our father was his situation back in 78, we would have never had a father.
Exactly.
When that situation happened, and I'm like, man, I would have never got to know him. But, you know, I grew up with anger issues for him for years, but I learned, because he said some harsh things to me as a child, some things, you know, that you'd be like, what? You know, you really, like, if you wasn't my father, you know I would have shot you, you know, type. That's how destructive those words were. And just the words, you know, he would speak about my mother was very harsh as well. And I'd be like, what? How would you say that about somebody you with? I mean, I'd be like, man, you... And I held on to a lot of anger when he didn't show up to Raheem's funeral.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know what? What kind of father wouldn't show up to his own son's funeral? But then as I got older, I realized which parent would want to see their child laying in a casket when your son was murdered right up the streets from you. Just before, days before he was murdered, he was on a roof with you, and you had an opportunity to talk to him. A lot of good, like he actually came to you, wanted to talk to you about something, but it just, you didn't have the words to speak, or you didn't know that situation when he came to you, that he needed you, your guidance, your he needed that fatherly wisdom about what was going on, but you were so far gone thinking about other things that you missed that opportunity to speak to your son and say, what's going on, what's happening? And, you know, I found out, you know, some crazy things that, you know, Rain was involved in, the guys he was involved in was, you know, basically told him to go, they wanted to rob Sham, they wanted to go and kill our father. And that's what the type of people he was hanging out with. And when you hear these things, you'd be like, my goodness. You know, my cousin Rush, you know, he was able to tell me all these things and express that, you know, this was what was going on. This is why... You know, he wanted you to stay away from this type of environment. This is the type of animals we were dealing with. And he always used to say he didn't want you around it because he knew what type of person you was. And it's like, man, this is... But as a parent, I held on to that anger for a long time, and I said, you know what, I have to let it go. Because, you know, Raheem made his own decisions, his own choices in life, you know, because, you know, it's hard. You know, every time I walk in, I look in my house and I'm seeing pictures of them just around, just like, man, my kids would never get to know who their brother was. His son never got to see his father. And, you know, it's his mother, and, you know, the hardest thing is his mother was going to get an abortion with him. And the family was like, are you crazy? He's like, well, his father ain't here. He's dead. Why should I have his child? I can never go back and tell his son have that type of conversation with him. But I always made it a point to say, you know, I love you. You know, your father will be proud of you. You know, be a leader, not a follower type of things. But, you know, and it helped me. I'm grateful for everything I went through in life with my, you know, mother and father, just, you know, all the things they said to me, you know. I'm surprised I still have my sanity, but it's by the grace of God that I do have my sanity and was able to overcome those things. I think that's what made me very numb to violence. Like, first time I seen somebody, you know, shot, I was 5 years old. My babysitter, the people that my parents, you know, my mother was leaving me with, actually used me to get this guy, you know, shot. And to see that, it made me very numb to violence as I got older. And violence, you know, I was the type of person when violent things happen, I would laugh. And so I was like, that's not crazy. How did that happen? Mm-hmm. But I remember as a young child, you know, my father sitting me in front of the VCR watching Scarface over and over and over and over. That stuff can kill a child. It can, you know, but it took a lot of detox and it took a lot of, learning to get over those anger issues. As you said, you know, I went through the same experience. I unleashed my anger through womanizing. That was just funny. I chose that same type of thing. I guess, you know, apples don't fall too far from the tree. And that's the way I expressed myself because, look at our father. Was a womanizer as well. And
yeah.
To go express the same way, like, okay, this is the only way I can do it. I'm like, man, imagine all of those women I've been with if they would have had babies. Because I was really trying, when I was out there, I was trying to impregnate a lot of women. To be honest, I was.
Mm-hmm.
I said, if I just had a child, I'll have somebody that I can love and that will love me back.
Yeah. Well, you know, obviously what you've said has resonated with folks because we now have about 6 new folks who have popped up on the switchboard. I got another caller who actually just raised their hand. We're going to keep you on the line. We're going to continue this conversation. I'm going to mute you out, but I'll pick you up in a little while. And I got a caller from the 606 area code. What's your name, question, or comment?
My name's Aaron.
What's good, Aaron?
Oh, I tell you, I said my mama dead.
Really?
Yeah, she dead. She ate some bad watermelon. And, I mean, I don't even know what happened. And it's been real hard. Figured you could give me some advice.
So what exactly are you going through right now?
Well, I mean, we was living off mama because daddy ran away. You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just been real hard, and I've been crying. And, you know, we all have family pictures hung up around the house, and we just miss mama.
How long since your mother passed away?
It's been a couple months, 2 months.
Okay.
Oh, man. I ain't never eaten watermelon again.
Hmm.
Now I'm sad.
So what do you miss most about your mother?
Yeah. We always had picnics.
Okay.
And I would miss being out on the picnic, eating some watermelon and some chicken. I'm not a stereotype, but I love it. I mean, I love it. But you know, I just miss it.
Well, you keep bringing up the watermelon and the chicken. How does that play into this?
It was her favorite food. She loved it, and she raised us on it. So. I ate it.
Okay. So how is your family dealing with this?
Oh. Well, I don't have much of a family anymore. I'm actually in foster care now.
Hmm.
I'm 15.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's your plan for your life? What is it that you feel that you are uniquely called to do in life?
I've always wanted to work at KFC.
And why would you want to work at KFC?
Well, it's been in the family business, you know. My mama worked there, and I don't know if my daddy worked there.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. Well,
I'm gonna get off the phone. I'm gonna cry.
All right. Well, you continue to have a we continue to grieve through your process, Aaron. It's necessary to let the tears flow because that's part of the process. All right.
Okay.
All right, Aaron. Take it easy.
Bye bye.
All right. Okay. That was pretty interesting. All right. Once again, the call-in number is area code 347-308-8527. The call-in number is area code 347-308-8527. And since I have my brother on the line, I wanted to share with him a song that actually enabled me to be able to forgive our father. As you know, I've worked behind the scenes of the music industry for a number of years. And a really good brother by the name of Kenny Green, I was fortunate and blessed to have been in the studio with him a number of times and see him work on different projects for different people. And he was the lead singer of a group called Intro. And I remember one time he played a song for me. He played it, you know, and it wasn't finished, but he let me hear the song, and I didn't see him again alive. When I heard that he had transitioned, I think I was out of town, and he passed away, and I didn't discover this song until listening to an Intro album about a year later. And this song is a song that enabled me to grow a great deal in my relationship with my father. And even though we're talking about the loss of a mother, I think that as a family, we got to recognize that we're all grieving in different ways, whether it be for a parent who has transitioned or a parent who may still be here, who you may have had or you're still experiencing a dysfunctional relationship with. And I think that I feel it in my spirit that there's something within this song that is going to be beneficial to someone else. The name of this song is New Life by Intro. We'll be back in a minute.
Every once in a while, just when you think things are going to be bad and things aren't looking good, a new life comes along and saves the day. You got to keep your head up. This is for my father. I hope you enjoy.
I'm tired of listening for the sound of the telephone ringing. Started believing that you're not coming. I want to fly. I learned you left in the garden while I'm eating. Your boy and your girl run free. Nobody looking, even me. Cause it's alright and it's okay now. They got a bit loose. I'm tired of pushing myself down. There's a doorbell. Dog is away, two by two, me and you, to a brand new place. Cause those chains you made to work me, they never let me. No, no, no. Send a basket to the president. Now the daughter's gonna pay my rent. It's gonna be
Are you ready to get your mind right?
I hope you are. What's good, people? It's your man, Dot, back for the Black Love Experience. Tonight's episode is entitled, Oh No, Not My Mama. And we're talking about the grieving process. I wanted to take a brief moment before we go back to the phone lines and share an article, a resource that I found from lifegaim.com. That's life.gaim.com. And the title of, and this is by E.C. Lamont, and the title of this article is How to Overcome the Death of a Loved One. It says, 4 steps to healing from grief of losing someone close to you. Losing a loved one can be a highly charged and very traumatic time. Though coping with loss can be a deeply personal experience, there are a few basic and universal steps to the bereavement and grief process. Knowing these steps can help you work through your grief over the loss of a loved one. Step 1, allow the feeling. Coping with the loss of a loved one brings up almost every emotion imaginable. There are times when more than one emotion seems to take hold at once, and you may feel as if you're going crazy. It's natural to feel this way, as it's normal to experience a number of different things. Gently remind yourself in your time of bereavement and grief that your feelings are yours, and they are well within the norm. It is important to your process to understand that there is no right or wrong when it comes to feelings about losing a loved one. Step 2, gather support. While there may be times as you are coping with loss when you wish to be alone, it is important to gather a support group around you for those times when you might need them. Friends, family, a minister, or a rabbi, and perhaps even a therapist, are all people who can and should be accessed during your grief process. These individuals can be accessed for emotional support as well as physical needs, if required. If the death of a loved one often leaves a large hole in the life of the survivor, that can be at least temporarily occupied by a support team. Step 3, allow the grieving process. Bereavement and grief is a process. It's important to know that every person has their own way of coping with loss. You cannot put a time limit on your grief. You must allow yourself to experience the stages of grief as they come up. Author Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, in her book On Death and Dying, outlined 5 stages of grief. Each stage is unique, and it is not necessarily experienced in order. Stages may also be revisited. The stages are denial. Your experience is incomprehensible. Initially, you find it impossible to believe the loss of your loved one is real, and you may be numb from the experience. Anger. As the truth of the situation begins to take hold, it is normal to feel anger. and rage. This anger may be directed at yourself, the loved one for leaving you, doctors for not healing your loved one, or even at God. Bargaining. It's not unusual for survivors to cope with loss by trying to negotiate, usually with their higher power. Don't be surprised if you find yourself trying to make an if-only deal with God. Depression. The overwhelming sadness you feel is normal, and in most cases will not last forever. It's common to feel as if life will never be the same. Acceptance. While this final stage of bereavement and grief is called acceptance, this refers to coming to terms with the finality of the loss and moving forward with your life. It does not mean that from time to time you may not revisit some of the stages listed above, but rather that the pain of your loss will become more manageable. Step 4, embrace life. Author David K. Switzer talks about the need to rediscover one's own life in his book, Dynamics of Grief, its source, pain, and healing. While the pain of your loss is real and must be felt, there will come a time when you must begin to live your own life again. By working through overcoming the death of a loved one, you will come to a place of accepting the death as a reality. You will find yourself able to move forward and embrace your life without your loved one by your side. Your process through bereavement and grief are your own. Everyone responds differently to coping with loss. Above all, be kind to yourself and know that you will wake one day and find the pain is less and life can go on. Again, that's from the article entitled How to Overcome the Death of a Loved One. 4 Steps to Healing from the Grief of Losing Someone Close to You by E.C. Lamoe. Now, much of what was written in that article is stuff that you've heard before, common sense logic to many folks. However, one thing that I've noticed about the process is it's not that it's information that you don't know. It's oftentimes you need to hear the information from someone outside of yourself in order for it to resonate. You know what you need to do deep within yourself, but that's oftentimes not easy to do. I want to play another song. This song is a song by Nas. And Nas, as many of you know, lost his mother as well. And this is a song that I'm a person that likes to go running. And sometimes I would, you know, put on the headset and go running in the rain and listen to this song, and because I'm running in the rain, I'm able to openly weep while running down the street. And I listened to this song, and it was part of my process. Hopefully it'll help one of you. We'll be back in a minute. Heaven by Nas.
By the gates, but you try to run inside when it opens? Would you try to die today? Would you pray loud? Finally believe in his power. Even if you could see, but you could feel, would you still doubt it? How would you start acting? Would you try to put the keys down? Taking every drug sale that you make in the streets, you can see now. Would a fiend even want to get high? Would he stop smoking? If he knew on his own 2 feet, he could just stroll in to get away and escape from the craziness. And I bet you there's a heaven for an atheist. It's partaking this racist planet where they take a younger brother in a handcuff. Even if he innocent, you can get on a car, put your motherfucking hands up. Thinking I'ma lose it. My mom's in chemo 3 times a week, yo, keep trying. But people is hard and guard your young soldiers, not sober, but need you. This world's my home, but world I would leave. If
heaven was a mile away,
would I pack up my bags and leave this world?
Stop building, I'ma stop feeling like I'm on my size, great great grandchildren. I'm not gonna wanna make millions to support the water days in the hallways, making fake cold cats with the Reese's Pieces wrapper in my mouth all day. But then my style has quite a wild bat, same time I'm filling out scratch. Game time to the cast, never look back, Chris down blowing dub sacks. That's when it all just hit me. You see the broads and Bentleys, just nothing, let my sit it all with me. I give it all away quickly, just to hit them all about the new kicks, free of any autographs, and not to be recognized, forgive me. It's becoming unbearable, making hits is easy. Put a famous on a hook, there you go with a platinum CD. I know you heard the noise, preachers touching on altar boys, sodomizing, not realizing God is watching before the Lord. How can they do the devil's work? A man give another man head in church, hell it hurts, just a bad with the thought, wishing that I fled the earth.
If heaven was a mile away,
would I pack up my bags and leave this world?
In your own hell. Every day I wake up, I'm blessed. Every day you wake up and breathe another breath, you blessed. Tall as getting running around, talk about I'm fucked up. I gotta get on, I'm in the grind, I'm fucked up. Yeah, we all in the grind. But look at the beautiful around you, it's a beautiful life. All my getting locked up, keep your heads up. Heaven's just a mile away. I'm talking heaven on earth, ain't got nothing to do with money, got nothing to do with nothing material. I'm talking about heaven in your own heart, in your own world, baby, in your own existence. To my mom, look at me, baby. I love you, girl. Your boy's shining. God's son.
Oh, you know, I think two things. Like, the men that I have dated who dated interracially, who, or men that I just may have had a relationship with that didn't work out, they didn't like their mothers. And I said I would never date anybody who had a problem with their mother. Maybe for the same reason. And, you know, and I really think that that's okay.
Okay, but so, what if their mother was abusive?
Well, you know, that's a shame. You know, you at some point you got to get over it. And if you can't, then maybe that's why, you know, I won't date. It doesn't matter why. That problem doesn't have to be my problem.
I hear that.
Are you ready to get your mind right?
What's good, people? It's your man, S-Dot, back for the Black Love Experience. The call-in number is area code 347-308-8527. Once again, the call-in number is area code 347-308-8527. Calling in, you're on the switchboard, you got a question or comment, you want to weigh in, press number 1 on your phone so that I know that you have a question or comment. To those of you who are in the chat room, I'm not in the chat room at the moment, I'm loading on my computer, just want to remind you the time is now 14 minutes until the end of the show, the live stream. So if you want to continue to hear the after show, you need to call in 347-308-8527. Once again, 347-308-8527. For those of you who are listening on the archive, thank you. I appreciate you. This show is overwhelmingly popular on the archives. I didn't realize how popular the show was. Our first show at the Black Love Experience just recently, I looked at the numbers for that show, and the number of downloads for the last show in the first, I think it was 5 days, was about 1,700 downloads. And I looked at the numbers today, and that show has about 2,200 downloads for the last show. So I want to thank each of you who clicked by, who listened to the show, who followed the show. To those of you who are at Blog Talk Radio and you have a profile set up, you can just click follow on the show page, and you'll be able to get updates on the show when new shows are scheduled or recorded, so that you can hear them in the archive. Other folks who want to reach out to myself and the Dot Team, you can send us an email at thes.files@gmail.com. That's thesdotfiles@gmail.com. thes.files@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter or Facebook, just /thes.files, as well as check out the blog, which is thes.files.blogspot.com. The blog is thes.files.blogspot.com. We're going to get more back into the blogging, or was blogging very regularly at one point, and kind of got distracted with a lot of the behind-the-scenes production for the show and so forth, but we're going to try to be more consistent with putting up the blogs and getting the content and material out there. We're very excited about the launch of the Black Love Experience and the different direction that we're going in, a much more progressive direction, a direction that I feel is more consistent with where I am as a member of the Black family. Okay, we've got a number of other callers who are on the line. I don't know if they have questions or comments. I'm going to pick up their mics. One caller, I'm going to pick up your mic. And if you have a question or comment, you can state that. If not, just state that you're just listening, and we'll continue with the show. I got a caller from the 651 area code. Caller from 651 area code.
Yeah, what's up, S. Dot? This is Universal Jones from Facebook, man.
What's good, brother? Good to hear from you.
Not much, not much. I just caught, you know, the last 10 minutes of your show, so I'm not sure exactly what everything that you're talking about. But if you're talking about grief, because I know that's the headline. One thing that I do work with trauma and men, and working on their healing and their emotional pain. And one of our topics that we do deal with is grief. And you will be surprised how much grief Black men have, not only with their moms, but just with all different types of things and dealing with loss. So it's definitely a huge thing to talk about. I will be in the archive to catch up on what I missed, and I'll try to contribute another way. So that's all that I have for right now.
Absolutely. Let me ask you a question. Just to touch base, because you were talking about you deal with trauma and more specifically with men.
Yes, sir.
I deal with a lot of situations with men. I was over a men's fellowship of about 300 men. We would do men's retreats and things of that nature, mentor younger guys, as well as a lot of community service projects. And one of the things we would do on our men's retreat is the retreat would always have a theme, and we would show a movie, and then we would have a discussion about it and so forth. One of the movies one year always was profound to me was we watched the movie Antoine Fisher. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the movie or not.
Yes, I'm familiar.
Okay, and in watching that movie afterwards, there were probably about 120 black males in attendance. And after that movie was over, I would say a good 90 of them had tears in their eyes. And when we broke up into small groups and had discussions, so many of them related to so many different aspects of that film, you know. And but one thing that resonated with me and stuck with me was the amount of black men who felt a sense of hurt by growing up in environments in which there was verbal abuse and sexual abuse. But some of the verbal abuse was them experiencing being called a nigger by black females who were in a maternal role, black females who they looked up to. And it, as the character says, he was called a nigger so much that, you know, he thought it was his middle name. And his clip.
Tate, she used to put us against each other so much, we started hating each other. But I think deep down inside, we really hated ourselves.
What do you mean?
Keith was half white. She would try to compare Keith to me and Dwight. You know, he had the good hair and we had the bad hair. She used to say how Keith was better than us because his father was white. I wish that was Keith.
Not even Keith could escape from being called a nigger. She hardly used our names. She said the word nigger so often, called us nigger so often that we can tell who she was talking to by the way she said the word nigger.
Now, I want to ask you, as a person that works with trauma, and more specifically trauma with black males, how significant would you say the impact is on black males as a result of them dealing with or being exposed to verbal abuse?
Very significant, and it's often overlooked. A lot of times, one thing we gotta realize is that in this area of the world, and being classified as a black male, your pain and your trauma and your emotions don't count. Already in society, men are not supposed to be emotional. So when you put it in the context of race, or in the context of being a non-white person, it's even more significant. So that's something that I call a subtle trauma. It's subtle because it goes unnoticed. However, it has a very significant impact for the long run. So you do have people like Antoine Fisher who do wish that they had lighter skin or quote unquote good hair or were white. Because just that trauma and that experience of being oppressed and being classified as a black person is very damaging and very traumatic in itself. So,
I would definitely agree because and I oftentimes share with black females who ask me, well, what's the brother's problems or why, you know, we are at odds and so forth, and particularly a lot of black mothers who oftentimes want me to have interaction with their black sons when they're teenagers or young adults, and it's now so far gone, and they're wondering, why is he acting out and so forth, and then I just listen to the mother's language and the way in which she speaks to this young child or young man, and him growing up in a household where it's like you've told him, you know, we grew up in households where it's like niggas ain't shit. You're full of shit, nigga. Mm-hmm. Your father was a shit. Niggas are never going to be shit, you know. And then you hear, and we're listening to music that tells us, I'm going to be a nigga for life just because I love my nigga. Let a nigga holler where my nigga. All I want to hear is right here, my nigga. And it's reinforced to such a degree, and then it's now commercialized to a degree that everyone says nigger, our term of oppression. And we are socially castrated if we try to attempt to correct that and say, well, that's unacceptable for me individually, regardless of what a collective group may say. And I think it's very hurtful.
Oh, most definitely. And unfortunately, like you said, we're socially castrated. and oftentimes it's by people that look just like us. So it makes it even worse. It even furthers that trauma and that pain. And you talk about, I also have a lot of moms that want me to talk to your teenage sons about what's going on. And I hear the language that they speak to them, too, with the same things that you hear in my area of the world. And also, not only the way that the moms talk to them, but how everybody talks to them and how they talk to each other. It is nigga this, nigga that, and they have accepted that, that negativity, as you like to call it, as a norm. And honest, and what I call that is really a self-defeating behavior. And when I say self-defeating behavior, it's something that works in the short term but has a long-term impact that's negative. And at one point, it might have been calling somebody a nigga to get them to pay attention to you, and over time, you just calling people a nigga, nigga, nigga this, nigga that, nigga this, and it's turned into just accepted, you know, form of oppression through communication through one of us. And that's why the power of words is so powerful, and putting things into context is so useful and needed. Because I think a lot of black folks, a lot of us, we just don't understand that. And that's why we go around calling ourselves niggas and throwing cute little terms on it, my nig, and, you know, bitches and hoes and all other things. I heard a new term from a 12-year-old girl earlier this week, and it's called a thot. So I'm like, what is a thot? And she was like, oh, it's a thirsty hoe. I was like, oh, and she's 12 and she's educating me on game. I'm 26. I know what thirsty means, but I didn't. That's my first time hearing a thought. So, I mean, there's all types of ways of communication that a lot of us don't even know that our younger folks are using, and there's further oppression themselves with just the slang that they're using. So it's very dangerous, and we got to be hip on game and know what these kids are saying, and these young people are saying to each other, because it is a form of oppression and castration.
I agree.
I have these memories from my life. None of them have it. What does that mean?
But the Matrix cannot tell you who you are.
That's right. The Matrix cannot tell you who you are. Once again, callers, if you wanted to call in, you got less than a minute. The call-in number is 347-308-8527. The call-in number is 347-308-8527. 8527. All of the callers who are on the line, I'm going to open your mics to make sure that, you know, the board doesn't stall out when we go into overtime. So I'm going to open all of your mics. Just put your phone on mute. And if you want to say something, then you take your phone off mute. So please try to keep the background noise down. Caller on the 708, I see you. I'm picking your call up right now. 651, your mic is open. Please mute your phone. Sound lady, your mic is open. Please mute your phone. I think sound lady.
Yes, I'm listening. Yes,
okay.
I'm listening.
Can you mute your phone?
Okay, I will.
Thank you. Mr. Francis, mute your phone as well. Call from the 708. We're going to start with you right now. 708, you have a question or comment? Something you wanted to weigh in with?
Hi, good evening. I've been listening for quite some time, I guess over 50 minutes now, and I just wanted to commend you for doing this particular show. I think that the pain of black men is not validated, not only amongst other communities, but within our own community. I find a lot of times that black males are having problems with their mothers, and those problems are then basically trickling down to problems that they have not only with women, but their ability to be able to relate to their families when they have them, you know, because a lot of times they have not been taught how to resolve conflict, how to deal with problems. And, you know, these issues, they don't go away. They just continue.
I would definitely agree with that, because from my own personal journey, and I can only speak from my experience, I know that the trauma of losing my mother when I was 12 years old definitely impacted all of the relationships that I had with women over the years. I was unable to commit. As I said, I was sexually aggressive, sexualized violence, as I would call it, the way that I was acting out in terms of women with the promiscuity, all of these dysfunctional relationships. And because my mother passed away, I think that I would put women through these trials. I would want to see if you're going to leave or not, if you're going to be consistent or not. And I would look for women who reminded me of my mother. At the moment that I found a woman who reminded me of my mother, I had to punish her. So, you know,
it
was a very traumatic experience for me for a number of years of my life.
I'm really, really glad to hear your comments. I'm on Blog Talk. I'm hoping to do a show on, and I shouldn't use this term, but I'm hoping to do a show on Mama's Boys, and I'm going to send you an email. I think one of the things that I've come to see, especially in relationships, is that, you know, males, especially black males, who do not have good, healthy relationships with their moms for whatever reason, whether it's because it never was good or it becomes bad, they tend to be distrustful and they tend to act out aggressively, you know, and it's just really sad. It really is. But it's something that we need to talk more about in our community, and this is such a great platform. It really is.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, and I look forward to the email. You know, I look forward to as many folks that look like us talking about constructive topics, talking about actually putting forth some solutions. I mean, because
yeah.
I think that we've spent more than enough time talking about what's wrong, and it's
yeah.
time for some of us to start putting forth some solutions and strategies to make it right. And we can't keep blaming other people. And I think that racism is a reality of the world. You can't deny the pink elephant of racism. It's in the room. But I think that an outgrowth of racism is escapism. That, you know, rather than us confront the reality of what racism is and how it has impacted our lives, we practice escapism. We escape from responsibility. We escape from accountability. We escape from productivity. And we make all sorts of excuses to not deal with our issues. And our issues are very significant, and our issues are not going to be resolved or addressed by other people. We can march around in circles. We can think that people are going to legislate them. We think we can vote away our issues, but at the end of the day, as a black man, as a black woman, as a black child, as a member of a black family, it all begins individually with that individual, you know, rolling up their sleeves and recognizing that, you know, you have to take responsibility for yourself and for the role that you play in your family. So I think
just to push the envelope, you know, one step further, you know, now it's not just racism as being the biggest ill with respect to us. I believe now that we have begun to practice sexism within our own communities. You know, you listen to what's going on in the entertainment world, and, you know, you have all these rappers and these musicians with this music that glorifies treating women and talking about women, black women, in less than dignified fashions. And we've got to, you know, deal with this. We've got to get to the bottom of where did it come from, and is this what we want our children and our families to continue to practice? You know, it's a problem. And many of us are not dealing with it as if it's a problem.
Absolutely, and I would agree with that. We're going to take a very short music break. I want to give myself a moment to get hydrated, and we are in the overflow. And so all of you who are on the line, hold tight, keep your lines muted. We'll get to you guys in a moment. This is a song, Mama, Tupac, and we'll be back in a minute.
Mama, I'm caught up in this sickness. I robbed my adversaries, but slipped and left a witness. Wonder if they'll catch me or will this nigga snitch? Should I shoot this bitch or make the nigga rich? Don't wanna commit murder, but then they got me trapped. Hawking while I'm walking, they talk behind my back. I'm kinda schizophrenic, I'm in this shit to win it. Cause life's a wheel of fortune, it's my dance to spin it. Got no time for cops who trip and try to catch me. Too fucking trigger happy to let them suckers snatch me. Niggas getting jealous. Trying to find my stash without the nine. Now I'm a dime off your ass. Peter picked a pepper, but I could pick a punk. Snapped him like a bitch and threw him in the trunk. The punk thought I was bluffing, but swam nothing nice. Before I take your life, first wrestle with these mics. I listen to a scream.
What is this, what you want?
If I could only have.
Are you ready to get your mind right?
I hope people are. What's good, people? It's your man, S. Dot. We are in overflow on the Black Love Experience. Once again, I want to thank everyone who's called in, weighed in on the conversation tonight. We're talking about grief in the black family. Tonight's episode was titled, Oh No, Not Mama. And as we talk about mama, we talk about all other members of the family. We talk about daddy, we talk about a brother, we talk about a sister, because when one of us hurts, all of us hurts. So we're going to go to the lines and we're going to open up 407, you there?
Yes, I'm here. You hear me?
Yes, sir.
Sir, you're playing some very emotional, touching music today, sir. I want to give you that. I'm surprised you didn't throw some Mary J. I know how you feel about Mary J.
Well, you know, we always got Mary J. on deck, you know. I mean, because it's always a Mary J. sort of situation going down with me. You know, I always got some of this on deck.
What to give you, blood? 3 months, man. What you doing in here anyway? You ought to be home with your mama. How old are you, boy?
13.
Damn. The bastards must be running out of niggas to arrest.
This goes out to all the families that went through the struggle. Yeah. With no heart. It was all from the heart. Everything was real. Yeah, dwelling in the past, flashbacks when I was young. Whoever thought I'd have a baby girl and 3 sons? But going through this difficult stage, I find it hard to believe. While my old earth had so many seeds, but she's her own woman. And due to me, I respect that. I saw life for what it's really worth and took a step back. Family ain't family no more. We used to play ball, eggs after school, eat grits cause we was poor. Grab the flies for the channel, fix the hanger on the TV. Rocking each other's pants to school wasn't easy, we survived winters. Snotty nose with no coats. We kept it real, but the older brother still had jokes. Sadly, daddy left me at the age of 6. I didn't know nothing, but mommy neatly packed the shit. She cried, and grandma held the family down. I guess mommy wasn't strong enough, she just went down. Check it, 15 of us in a 3-bedroom apartment, roaches everywhere. Cousins and aunts was there, 4 in the bed, 2 at the foot, 2 at the head. I didn't like to sleep with John, Johnny peed the bed. 7 o'clock, fucking roaches out the cereal box. She shared the same spoon, watching Saturday cartoons. Sugar water was a thing, every meal was no frill. In the summer, free lunch held us down like steel. And it was days I had to go to Texas with a note. Satan, Gloria, can I borrow some food? I'm dead broke. So embarrassing, I couldn't stand a knock in they door. My friends might be laughing, I spent stamps in stores. Mommy with the toilet paper, use the newspaper. Look, Miss Rose gave us a couch. She's the neighbor, things was deep. My whole youth was sharper than cleats. 2 brothers with muscular dystrophy. She killed me, but I remember this. Mom's a lick of fingertips. She wiped the coal out my eye before school with a spit. Case worker had her running back to face to face. I caught a case house and tried to throw us out of our place. Sometimes I look up at the stars and analyze the sky and ask myself, was I meant to be here? Why? Yeah.
classic material right there.
Don't you know how to come home? Where you been?
I came for one thing. Whatever you can tell me about my real family.
I don't know nothing about your real people.
A name, number, anything?
I said I don't know. Now come along, come on.
I remember everything. Everything. You could have helped me, but instead you beat me to dust, and you?
Well, I don't know what you're talking
yes,
about.
Yes, you do. I was 6 years old.
Now, you just listen.
No, you listen to me.
No, I think you have forgotten.
I think you forgot.
To.
I said listen to me. This is my time. You understand me? It don't matter what you tried to do. You couldn't destroy me. I'm still standing. I'm still strong. Not always will be.
Are you ready to get your mind right?
What's up, Black Wolf family? Mommy, where's the toilet paper? Use the newspaper. Don't give her the couch. She's the neighbor. Man, that's hard right there. See, that right there, that just bring all of Brooklyn back to you, right? You just be like, wow. Stuff you just forgot about. You know, you just learn how to cope and deal with these sorts of different situations. And then, you know, you hear a song like that and you just be like, wow, that's my experience. I used to wipe the coal out of my eye with a spit. Oh, my goodness. Oh, man, that's a classic, man. That was a classic joint that you put on, and it's funny you put that song on because I actually was thinking about that song today. That's my flashback music, bro. And I definitely appreciate it, bro. Absolutely. I mean, this is a healing platform. This is not about me. This is about the family. And I think that one of the reasons why this show is so popular and it resonates with people is that they recognize that it's not about me. It's really about me allowing myself to be an instrument of change. It's not about me and having an ego and all that other stuff. It's really about just being led by the spirit and just recognizing that we got a lot of work to do, you know. We can't afford to waste our time non-constructively talking in circles and worrying about this group of people and that group of people. All of that distraction is taking us away from healing ourselves. We got some issues.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. I know a sound lady, you didn't weigh in. Did you have something you wanted to weigh in with? I think she's on mute. Sound lady, you still there?
Still here. Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello? Hello?
I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm just listening, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Well, we thank you for listening. We appreciate
thank
it.
You. Yeah, thank you. It's been a good show.
Thank you. We appreciate you joining us for this evening. So thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Now, you know, everyone else who's listening on the archive, I want to, again, thank each and every one of you who listened to the show on the archive. Again, I said show is very popular on the archive. If you're at Blog Talk Radio and you have a profile set up, you want to click the follow button so that you can get the updates in your messages or to your mobile device whenever a new show is scheduled or posted. And if you want, you can send us an email at thes.files@gmail.com. That's thes.files@gmail.com. thesdotfiles@gmail.com. I need somebody to reach out to me about a website. So if you're a web designer, reach out to me. Let's politic, because we got some sites we need to get up immediately. So if you're a web designer, reach out to me at thes.files@gmail.com.
send me some links to your portfolio. Let me know what's good. And also, you can follow us on the social networks, Facebook or Twitter, /the s.files, and check out the blog, the s.files.blogspot.com. That's the blog, the s.files.blogspot.com. Keep in the loop with us, see what's going on. Now, I wanted to play a clip, it's a really profound clip, and folks who listen to the show, follow the show, know I'm merely the facilitator of the conversation. There are lots of clips I play, whether it be from a movie, it be from a lecture, music, you know, conversation, because I really want folks to get a sense of recognizing that there are all different ways to reach people. And not all folks just want to listen to me talk on the radio. Folks want to, you know, hear different, you know, perspectives thematically. So there is a sister by the name of Mabel Williams. And if you don't know who Mabel Williams is, you definitely need to find out. Mabel Williams is the widow of Robert F. Williams. And who is Robert F. Williams? Robert F. Williams was an activist, a black activist, who passed away, transitioned in 1996. He was originally the president of the Monroe chapter, North Carolina, of the NAACP, and they armed themselves against KKK terrorists, confronted white supremacy in their area of the world, and he is considered the father of the Black Power movement because of many of the things that he did in response to, because he believed in armed self-reliance, black cultural pride, and, you know, and as a result of this, he eventually fled the country, took up sanctuary in Cuba and China, and he has a book on his life, which is by Timothy P. B. Tyson, and the name of the book is Radio Dixie. Once again, the book is Radio Dixie. I would strongly encourage you to get that book to learn about Robert F. Williams and Mabel Williams, a powerful black couple who came together in support of and defense of the black family. You can look up Robert F. Williams on YouTube, find some clips on him. It's going to be quite fascinating. But Mabel Williams was on a show a while back, and she dropped some jewels of wisdom because she is a mother and raised sons, and she dropped some jewels of wisdom that I think are important. Other women should hear them who may have sons one day or currently, who may even have brothers. And, you know, I think these are important jewels of wisdom, so we're going to listen to this clip of Mabel Williams talking about mothers raising sons. We'll be back in a minute.
Well, first thing, I think we have to learn as black women to love ourselves. Mm. And to love ourselves so much that we will not allow our young men, whom we're responsible for, our children, to grow up hating us and hating themselves.
Mm.
We have to teach them how to love themselves and how to love and respect us and respect other women and other men who are really men. We need to teach them to respect them and love them and not give in to allowing them to dictate to us, oh, yes, mother, I'm going to wear these baggy pants because they're in.
Hmm.
Oh, yes, mother, you know, and I think it was Kung Jufu who said, we raise our daughters, we love our sons, but we raise our daughters.
Hmm.
We don't raise our sons to respect us and to respect themselves, first of all, and to love themselves and to love us. And we are the only species that they can produce. They, you know, they are the ones who are going to father the future generations. But if they father them with no idea, no love for what they can produce, and no love for the women who bring the children into the world, because they have not been taught respect for themselves or for women, then we have failed as women.
Hmm.
And it's very difficult, I know. It's very difficult to go against the grain. A lot of times we are called to, we take sides against our men when they are not the enemy. They're acting like the enemy because we have raised them to become our enemies, you know?
Yes, ma'am.
We have a big job to do. When we first came back from overseas, and we'd been going all that time, the women's liberation movement was in high gear, and it was in high gear when we were overseas. And I was often asked to join in with them in the criticism of our men. I did not join in. I knew that our men have problems. They do have lots of problems. Being arrogant, and you know, once they get to be out of the little boy stage, but a lot of times we're ones responsible because we didn't demand that they not only respect us as their mothers, but they respect themselves as men and take on the responsibilities that they're supposed to have. And I just look today and I see, I refuse to fight against our men publicly because I saw that they are the victims of the man themselves, but they also, we also have become victims, and we allow them to disrespect us, and we don't teach them how to respect and be loving, caring husbands and fathers. Even if they're not husbands, they should be respectful fathers when they bring somebody, help to bring another human being into the world, not just abandon them to somebody who's going to treat them, those babies, just like those disrespectful men treated them. So it just hurts my heart to see what is happening, and I feel so sorry that our young women are not able to stay with the baby's daddies, these baby daddies. But they're being brought up as baby daddies. They're not being brought up as men. And we just have a big job to do. A big job to do. And it has always been the enemy's rule to divide and conquer. And the more we turn against our men, and the more we don't raise our young boys to respect us, and to respect themselves and to respect other women, the happier the evil forces will be in this world. Because it means genocide. It means genocide against our young black males. And we have a responsibility to look at it from that point and do what we can to help to raise our young boys at the earliest age possible to respect themselves, to love ourselves, and to love themselves and to love us as a people. We have to teach them that. That's something that Robert used to say, the one who rocks the cradle molds the man.
Yes, ma'am.
So
we
have to take it to heart, and we have to, you know, there. I don't believe that this man, the evil forces that are out there, and they're good. There's good and evil. There's a struggle going on, and you can think it's not, but it's there. And we got it within our own people as well as from the outside. And a lot of the people have chosen which side they're going to be on. And they'd rather be on the side of evil, where there's nothing but greed and using people. They would rather be on that side than to be on the side of good, where you are trying to do the best you can to produce in society and have a wonderful life to contribute something to the world that we were brought into.
Profound words from Mother Mabel Williams, widow of Robert F. Williams. Once again, I strongly encourage you, click by YouTube, run a search for Robert F. Williams, get the book, Radio Free Dixie. You may want to get two copies, one for yourself and one for your significant other. And if you really want to talk about being a revolutionary family, a revolutionary couple, a black man and a black woman, this book is the blueprint. Radio Free Dixie, the autobiography of Robert F. Williams and the roots of black power. And I think that within this book, it's a very timely book because it presents templates which you can scale to your own individual family situation that could be beneficial towards you liberating yourself from whatever self-defeating circumstances that you and your family find yourselves in. Okay, Mr. Francis, you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. Yes, you can hear me?
Yes, sir. So I wanted to ask you, what did you think of the song by Intro, New Life?
It was pretty good, pretty emotional, intense.
Shout out to Kenny Green. Hope that brother's resting in peace. Really appreciate that. So we are beyond the 2-hour call. We're about 2.5 hours in. Brother like me wants to get himself some dinner. But I definitely thank you. Thank Sound Lady. Thank Universal Jones. Thank Aaron and all of our other callers for the evening who weighed in tonight. Thank each and every one of you who are in the chat room. You know, I really appreciate it. And, you know, I just think that if each of us does our part, stops focusing on other folks and who did what to who, but each of us just, you know, focus on the reality that it's going to take an effort from each of us to be able to, you know, turn this situation around. And I think that we will make some significant headway. You know, it's a process, and it's not going to be easy, but we could do it. You know. So that being said, I want to thank everyone for listening to the Black Love Experience. And, you know, we will catch you all for the next show. And for everyone who tuned in tonight, again, thank each and every one of you. For those of you who follow the show, thank you guys for following. It's your man, F. Dot. This is the Black Love Experience. And we're going to end tonight with a joint from a man, Ghostface Killah. And this joint is entitled Mama. It's your man, S. Dot. Catch you on the next show. Black Love Family.
This is for my women. I've been going through the struggle on welfare, living a rough life. It's gonna be alright. Yes, yes, sir.
Without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries, a world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.